Welcome back to the Learn English podcast, the podcast teaching English in context so you can learn naturally. On today's episode, I want to help build your listening comprehension. I want to tell you a story about my recent trip to the city of Dallas. If you don't know, Dallas is in Texas, which is in the southern part of the United States, and it's a large city. There is over a million people who live in the city of Dallas, and I want to tell you about our trip there. The things we did, my advice of where you should go, and what you should definitely not do if you end up visiting the city. With that, let's begin. Before we get started, I want to remind you to check out the description of this podcast episode and of our previous podcast episodes because you will find a list of the words and phrases that I use. You will find the definition as well, so you can take these words and phrases and put them in your own vocabulary learning system. That way you can study them and you can start incorporating them into your own English vocabulary. Now let's talk about my trip to Dallas. I went to Dallas in April of this year. It is currently 2024. And the reason I went to Dallas is because in April there was an event that happened. From Mexico and up through the United States, there was a solar eclipse. And the reason I went to Dallas was because Dallas and the area right below it was in the path of this solar eclipse. I had never seen a solar eclipse before, so I really wanted to go. And I invited my mother to go along with me. She is my travel partner, and she had never seen a solar eclipse either. So we decided to go. There's a lot of places that were along the path, and there's a lot of places we could have gone, but we decided to go to Dallas because it's a relatively large modern city. There's a lot of history involved with Dallas, which I will tell you about in a couple of minutes. And it's also what we call a hub. A hub means that there is a lot of transportation connections from the city. Dallas has two airports, Dallas Love and Dallas Fort Worth, and these are both relatively large airports. Airlines fly into them and fly directly to a bunch of different places from these airports. The city that I live in, the airport that's closest to me, has a direct flight to Dallas, and it only took us about a little over 2 hours to get there. So it was a very quick flight. And because of that, we decided to go to Dallas. I had also listened to a podcast, a travel podcast that talked about Dallas a few months before. And for all of these reasons, we decided to go to Dallas. Now, we flew to Dallas on a Saturday and we got there around 2 o'clock. We ended up getting a car there. And the reason we got a car is because we ended up not wanting to stay in Dallas the entire time. We wanted to end up driving somewhere else. So we decided to get a car. We took the car from the airport to our apartment. We checked in at the apartment and we ended up staying in downtown Dallas because we wanted to go to the sixth floor museum. If you don't know what the sixth floor museum is, it is a building in downtown Dallas that has a lot of history involved with it. Now, you might not have heard about that specific museum, but you may have heard about the president that we had in the 1960s, whose name was John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy is known for a couple of reasons. One is that he was a young president. Compared to some of our other presidents who tend to be older, and our current president, for example, who is definitely older, John F. Kennedy was relatively young when he was first elected to be president. He was also married to a woman named Jackie. She was Jackie Kennedy at the time and later Jackie Onassis. And she was very beautiful, very glamorous, was thought to have this amazing style. They had two young kids, and that time period when they were in the White House is referred to as Camelot. He was young, he was energetic. And he was bringing in these very liberal policies that were thought to change the country. People were very excited to have him as president. And there was a lot of enthusiasm when he first took office. Now, JFK is also known, sadly, for another reason because he did not finish his term as president. He was assassinated before the end of his term, and the place where he was assassinated was Dallas. That brings us to the history of the sixth floor museum. Now, the museum is located in a building where, back when JFK was assassinated, it was a book depository. That means that the books that the public schools were using were stored in that building. The person who is believed by most people, I guess I could say, to be responsible, his name was Lee Harvey Oswald, and he worked in the book depository. The building is now called the Sixth Floor Museum because the shots that are thought to have assassinated President Kennedy came from the sixth floor. When you go to the museum, you go in and then you have to take an elevator up to the sixth floor. When you get out of the elevator, it has a lot of information about John F. Kennedy, about his family, about his politics, and the environment at the time. The 1960s was a very turbulent time, as we would say, which means there was a lot of change. There was a lot of civil unrest. And I've talked about this in previous podcast episodes. The museum has this information. It also has pictures of JFK landing at Dallas Love Airport, pictures of the events of his morning, the things that he did before he got in a car with his wife. And then it shows you the route that his car was going to take. Now, this route was published ahead of time so people could go line up on the street and see the president go by in his car. This was called a motorcade that he was in, which means that there was cars in front of him and cars behind him. And he was with the governor of Texas, along with his wife, in a open car, which means that there was no top to the car so people could get a better view of him. Now, this was good for people because they knew where to line up. They knew how they could see him. But this also meant that people knew where he was going. And unfortunately, they took advantage of that for this assassination plot. Now, the motorcade went in front of the book depository, and Lee Harvey Oswald was working there that day. When you go through the museum, you actually see the window where the shots are believed to have come from. There are boxes in front of it, which are believed to have been moved to block the view, so you could not see the person who was standing next to the window. You get to see pictures of the events that happened afterwards, the craziness that happened afterwards when they were trying to figure out who did it, what happened to the president. They have paper, which is from the news organizations at the time when they were announcing what had happened. And then there's also information about the person who was arrested, Lee Harvey Oswald. You learn his background and you see the video after he gets arrested for it. Now, I will say that there's a lot of conspiracy theories about this JFK assassination. You may not know, but Lee Harvey Oswald never actually went to trial. He was arrested. There was a press conference, and he himself was actually killed by someone else during that press conference. And it was shown on TV. You get to see that moment in the museum. They play that video. And because of that, people were very unsure if he was really the person who did it, if he just got arrested for it and silenced, and it was really somebody else who was in charge of it. There's a lot of conspiracies about it. A lot of people think different things. And the museum also explores that. It shows the autopsy results. It talks about why people say it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald, why people think somebody else was involved. And the museum leaves it open-ended, as we would say, which means you get to make up your own mind. They really give you the information and they leave it up to you. Who do you think did it? What do you think happened? Why? And you just get to think about all that, see all the information, and come to your own conclusion. If you do go to the museum, definitely I would recommend to get your tickets ahead of time. There's a website. You can order your tickets online. You pick the day and you pick the time. It is timed entry. When I went to get tickets about a month ahead of time, the day that we originally wanted was already sold out. So we had to change our plans up a little bit and go the day that we landed. We still got tickets, but I would just say, look ahead of time. Now, if you don't want to pay for the museum, you don't necessarily have to. You can also just walk around the museum. In the area in front of the museum, they actually have X's on the ground to mark the spot where the shots landed. So you can see where the shots landed, and you can actually see where the final shot was, the one that actually ended up killing the president. You can see where that is. You will see that there are a lot of people in this area because it is a big part of American history. There's a lot of tourists there. There's people taking tours. There's people who do tours and give information about that event. And you can also see the vantage point, which means the place where the people were standing who were watching President Kennedy go by. And you can also see the same view that people who were watching the president go by had. You can stand right on the sidewalk. You can see what they were seeing. And you can get the same viewpoint that they had. Now, one of the most famous people who was watching the president go by was a man named Zapruder. You might have heard of the Zapruder film, or you may not have heard it, but it's where the images of the president being shot comes from. He was someone who was filming the president go by, and he happened to get this moment on his camera. That film was used during the investigation to try to figure out where the shots came from and who did them. You can see that same viewpoint that that person had. You can see this grassy knoll, which is like a grassy hill next to the museum. That's involved in a lot of conspiracy theories. People think that the shots might have come from there, or from behind the grassy knoll. People who were there at the location when it happened thought the shots came from there. So that's why it's part of this conspiracy theory. One thing, though, I will say do not do is go into the road to take pictures with the exes. Do not go in front of moving cars. That just goes for everything, right? Like, just never go in front of a moving car. Do not block traffic. But especially don't do it in Dallas if you are visiting in front of the sixth floor museum. When my mom and I went, we were shocked that we saw multiple people go into the road to take pictures of the exes, to sit on the ground and take a selfie with the ex. I don't know why, but just don't do that. People who were driving had to stop and hit their brakes and wait for the person to get out of the road. So don't do that. That is my first don't do in Dallas. Do not go into traffic. Do not walk in front of a moving car to take a picture. Around the museum, there's some fountains. There's a nice area just in general around the museum. So if you're not interested in actually paying, you can go and check that out. There's statues of people who founded Dallas. There's also a memorial to JFK. I will say it's not really very pretty. It's very simplistic. But if you're interested in seeing that, you can look at that. And there's also in that area a original, very small house from people who had just originally settled Dallas. You can see this little cottage, this little tiny house. It has a little plaque of information about it. You can see how small it is, but you can see how it was built and the material that they built it with. And that's all in the immediate area. After we got done with the sixth floor museum, we ended up going to the Dallas Arts Festival. I will leave a link for this festival. It seems like it only happens once a year, and also that this was only the second time they did it, but this was in April. They did it specifically before the eclipse. I'm not sure if they're going to do it again in the future or when. I'll leave the link so you can see if you're going to Dallas, maybe they'll have it, but it was a lot of fun. The location for this was in Deep Ellum. Deep Ellum is a district of Dallas that is known as being the arts district. More casually, we would call it the hipster district. It was very artsy. A lot of young energy, creative energy, a lot of fun art on the street and sculptures and graffiti art. If you are watching on YouTube, you can see some of the pictures that I took there, but it was just fun. It was just a fun thing to do. We got to see a bunch of different art. My mom and I ended up buying some small prints that we could fit in our luggage and that we could afford. But if you had a lot of money, of course, you could get really big art pieces. There was jewelry. There was people who were singing. It was just a fun event overall. After we got done with the art festival, we ended up just walking around Deep Ellum to get dinner, find a place to eat. We walked along Main Street in Deep Ellum, and there was a lot of people on that street. There was a lot of other tourists, a lot of people going up and down the street because there was restaurants, there was nightlife, there was clubs, and it just seemed like a very fun place to be. I would recommend staying there. If I ever went back to Dallas, I would definitely stay in Deep Ellum. It was a lot more lively and a lot more vibrant than where we stayed. We stayed in downtown, and at nighttime, everything was closed. There was really no one around. There wasn't any type of nightlife there. It was only chain restaurants like Subway that was open. And I think if I ever went back, I would stay in Deep Ellum because it definitely seemed like the place to be after dark, right? After dinner time, the place to be. It was definitely fun and it was definitely a good first day. The next day, we end up going to the Dallas Museum of Art. If you are an art person, I would definitely recommend going. The first reason is that it is completely free. Now, even though it's free, you have to go on the website and book a ticket. You don't pay for the ticket, but it's just saying that you're going to go that day. So that way they can control how many people actually go to the museum in a given day. It's not a timestamp. You just say that you're going on whatever day you want to visit, and then you can show them when you get there and you can go into the museum for free. The museum itself is pretty large. It does have a couple of good collections. They tend to have their collections by culture. So they had an African art museum, an Asian and Pacific Islander section, a modern art section. That was very different. I hadn't been to a place that had an African or an Pacific Islander art section before, and that was very interesting to see different artistic representations from different cultures. I think we spent a couple of hours at the museum in overall, and I would recommend going if you were interested, if you want to go see art. Right behind the museum, there is a park, and on the day we went, they had food trucks. Seems like they're there a lot. I can't say for sure because that was the only day we were there, but there was some food trucks. We ended up buying some food from the food trucks. We sat at a table in the shade. The weather was lovely. It was a beautiful April day. There was a slight breeze. There was a bunch of families at the park with their dog and their kids. There was music, and it was just a lovely time. It was a great way to spend our afternoon between the museum in the morning and then having our food in the park in the early afternoon. Where the Dallas Museum of Art is located is called the Museum Area, the Museum Row of Dallas. There's a bunch of different museums in that area. And we ended up going to the Asian Museum that was right next to it. That museum was also free. It's a lot smaller than the Dallas Museum. We spent less than an hour there, but they had East Asian pottery and clothing, and it was a quick museum, but interesting and free. So it was a great thing to do. Now, a second thing I would not recommend doing if you go to Dallas and if you have a car is parking in the parking structure for the Dallas Museum of Art. The day we went, like I said, was right before the eclipse. It was very busy. And when we were originally going to park there, but the line just to get into the parking structure was huge. There were so many people who were trying to park. There was a massive line. And we ended up just deciding not to wait and not to try to park there. We ended up going to a private lot that was about a block away from the Dallas Museum of Art, and it was actually cheaper. I think it was $20 to park at the museum parking lot, but it was either $10 or $15 to park at this private lot, and there was no one there. Now, I went on a Sunday, so maybe during the week, maybe that private lot is a lot more busy, but when we went, there was no one was there. It was really quick to get in. There was plenty of parking spaces and it was cheaper. So that was definitely the better choice for us at the time. For my last piece of advice, my last thing not to do in Dallas is take the DART train. Now, the DART train is the light rail train. It is a public transportation system in Dallas, and it's light rail, so it's above ground. There's a number of stops throughout the city. I think it also goes to the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. So if you're flying internationally, that's where you would go, and you could take the DART train into Dallas. The reason we took the DART train is that we were in downtown. We were trying to go to Deep Ellum. And the art festival that was going on said on their website that it was going to be really hard to find parking in Deep Ellum. They recommended taking the DART train, so that's what we ended up doing. There was a station right next to the apartment we were staying at. We decided to get tickets, go on the DART train, and go to Deep Ellum. The reason we did not like it, the reason I will never take it again, and the reason I recommend that you never do this if you are in Dallas is because it was a really, really bad experience. The smell on the DART train is by far the worst smell I have ever smelled in my entire life. The doors opened for the DART train and my mom and I got in, and the smell was overwhelming. It smelled so bad. It was like dirt and body odor and vomit and urine all mixed into one. And because the windows were closed on the train, when the doors closed, you couldn't get any fresh air. You just had this horrible smell that you had to smell the entire time. My mom actually covered her face because the smell was so bad. Everyone on the train was commenting how bad it smelled in there. And it was just horrible. Now, I don't know if it always smells like this. I've only been on the DART train once. This is the only time I've taken it. But it was so bad that I will never go on that dart train again. The second reason that it was such an uncomfortable and unpleasant experience is because there was a particular person on the train who was very threatening. When we were on the train, there was a woman there who was screaming. She was yelling. She was saying bad words, offensive words, yelling at people, threatening to fight people. And that was really uncomfortable. She wasn't right next to us, but she was near us. And she kept yelling the entire time. And then eventually someone started yelling back at her and then escalating the situation. They were both yelling. They were both threatening to fight each other. And it just felt really unsafe. My mom and I originally had planned to go from downtown to Deep Ellum to stay on the train. But because of the smell and because of the situation that was going on around us, we didn't feel comfortable. We didn't feel safe. And we decided just to get off and just walk. Like I said, that was my only experience on the DART train. I've only been on once, but once was enough for me. I will never take the DART train again. When my mom and I decided to go back to the apartment from Deep Ellum, we decided to get an Uber instead of taking the train. We thought that was a safer option. And it was. When we got into the Uber, the driver had 5 stars. It was a clean car. It was just us. It smelled completely fine. And we were able to go back to the apartment and we felt safe and it was just a better experience. Overall cost-wise as well, the tickets for the DART train were $3. So for both of us, it was $6 to take the train. On the way back when we took the Uber, it ended up only being $10. So for the $4 difference in price, it was definitely worth it. For my own personal safety and my overall experience, that was definitely the better option and it wasn't that much more costly. And that's what I would do in the future. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned a little bit about our trip to Dallas, about what you can do in the city, about the places you can go to, the things you can do, and the things not to do when you go to Dallas. If you are ever in Dallas, if you ever have the chance to go, I would recommend it. I had never been. I had never been to Texas, but I had a really fun time. I like the city a lot. There was a lot of stuff to do, at least for the 2 days we were there, and I enjoyed it. A reminder to check out the description of this podcast episode of our previous episodes so you can find the list of vocabulary words and phrases I use during the episode, along with their definitions. A reminder to take these words, put them in whatever vocabulary system you're using, and start learning them and incorporating them into your own conversations. If this episode helped you, if listening to stories like this helped your listening comprehension, if this podcast is helping you with your overall English fluency and abilities, please consider leaving a rating on whatever app or platform you are using to listen to this podcast on. You can also recommend this to a friend, tell a family member, tell a coworker, tell anyone you know that's learning English about this podcast, and tell them how much it is helping you. That will help us build our audience, continue to build our audience, and I would really appreciate it. You can follow us on social media at Learn English Pod. The website is learnenglishpod.com. And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode when it comes out next week. Until then, keep learning English.